Okay. Is that fair, Noah? Okay. All right. Well, God's given us another beautiful morning. Let's pray before we start. Do you have any prayer requests? This way.
My mom.
Your mom. Who's that?
Don.
Don. Is he someone else in Mexico? Okay. And is he in India? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
India. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. See your wonderful works in the trees and skies and winds. Just praise you for all your wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, we pray for all the brethren throughout the world, Josue and Don, and those in Mexico. Help them to be faithful to you. Pray for those who have backslidden and have neglected the narrow way, that you would just be merciful to them, Lord. We pray for Michael and Stephen Dave. Just continue to, or just again, just convict them of evil and pray for Judah's mom, that she would minister to her heart whatever her needs are. Pray that you be with our brother David in India. Bless his time there. Let your will be done, Lord. And for your presence and blessing on this meeting this morning, just be with whoever has a message to share here, and just fill them with your Spirit, Lord, and give them words and to edify all of us. Bless each one of these boys and these girls. And be faithful to you, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, and we're still in the book of Job here. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll be ready to chapter 16. Okay. Job, oftentimes when we think of the story of Job, we just kind of think of what we read about there in about the first two chapters, and then we skip to the back and we find out what happens at the end, and that's kind of what we know about the story of Job. But in between there's all all these chapters with a lot of good reading, and I'll admit that some of it's a little bit hard for me to understand. But there are some very inspiring things in this kind of dispute or this debate that Job has with his friends. And in the last chapter, Eliphaz reprimanded Job again. His three friends were just accusing Job, just continually accusing Job of something evil in his life because of what happened. And Job keeps on insisting that he's been faithful. And I don't know for sure toward the end of the book, and I'm looking forward to when we get to, there's a character in this book toward the end whose name is Elihu. He's not one of the three friends that's been accusing Job, and he's younger, and I'm not sure where he, did he not come with the three friends, or did he come and it just didn't mention him? But he has a lot of good stuff to say. And when God starts speaking, and he rebukes Job's friends, the three friends, for what they said, he never said anything about Elihu, if I remember right. And God even has some things to tell to Job, because I think Job ends up complaining here some, and I'm not sure. Sometimes I'm not exactly sure what all is being said to who here, but it seems like Job finally ends up in insisting that he's not this evil person that they're saying. He ends up trying to justify himself instead of justifying God. But we'll start reading here. Oh, I wanted to point one thing out here in the verse before, chapter 15, one of the things that Eliphaz said is, when he was accusing Job, he said, "What knowest thou," in verse 9, "that we know not? What understandest thou which is not with us?" Then in verse 10 he says, "With us are both the gray-headed and the very aged men, much elder than thy father." And that's an accusation that'll often come. I expect every one of your dads probably has been, if you have had to leave some kind of a religious system that was corrupt, that's one of the accusations that'll come against us. Well, you're just this young guy, and we've got these old gray-headed men who have all kinds of experience, and you don't know anything that they don't know. But that's another thing that this Elihu points out later on. If he says, "Wisdom is not with the great men, neither is understanding with the aged men," I think is what he says, something to that extent. And remember, if you remember when these three friends came to Job, who can remember what happened first when they came? One of you boys remember what happened for 7 days? Go ahead. They didn't say a word. They came there because they heard what happened to Job. They came to comfort him. And they sat down for 7 days and didn't say a word. And once they started speaking, they just heaped all these accusations on him. This is what Job starts saying here in chapter 16. "Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made me desolate, all my company, and thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me bears witness to my face. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me, he gnashes upon me with his teeth. My enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me." As I was reading some of this is very, I don't know, is it a type or prophetic or at all or not, but some of it He's very close to what Jesus could have said too. And things that literally happened to him, but he smit him on his cheek and gathered themselves together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has broken me asunder. He has also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His arches compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and does not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin, and defiled my horns in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in my hands. Also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. He's saying in a few years, he expects that he'll die and be in a way that he'll never return again. Chapter 17 is Job just continuing to speak, and it's kind of a short chapter. I might just go ahead and read chapter 17 too. My breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me, and does not my eye continue in their provocation? Lay down now, put me in surety with thee. Is he that will strike hands with me? Who is he that will strike hands with me? For thou hast hid their heart from understanding, therefore shalt thou not exalt them. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. He hath made me also a byword by the people, and aforetimes I was as a tabret. My eye also is dimmed by reason of sorrow, and all my members are in the shadow. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. But as for you all, do ye return and come now, for I cannot find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. If I awake, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? We shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. All right. Okay. I have forgotten what your assignment was for today. Verses about covetousness? Okay. Okay, why don't you all stand up? So that, do you have a verse?
Body, but envy brought to balance. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not on in the things, in the abundance of things which he possesseth.
Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Exodus 20:17, National Mountain.
Romans 13:9. For the commandments are, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other commandments exist are all summed up in this very thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
of the sounds of these verses, covetousness, or to covet, is a very wicked and evil thing. Can somebody tell me what it means to covet?
When you like want people's stuff.
When you want something that doesn't belong to you. Yes. Can somebody think of a few characters in the Bible that were covetous people? Go ahead.
King Ahab and Jezebel.
King Ahab and Jezebel.
David who had
Bathsheba, one of that woman that didn't belong to him. How about Naaman, when he went after, or not Naaman, what was the servant? Probably like the servant's name.
Gehazi
went after Naaman to get those pieces of gold and stuff that didn't belong to him. A lot of times when we think of covetousness, we think of wanting like a possession or money or something that doesn't belong to us. But sometimes it can just be coveting like honor or fame or wanting to be in the spotlight when really that's not where we belong. It doesn't belong to us. That honor all belongs to God. Okay. For next week, I'd like you to find examples, and I might. What kind of ages do we have? Are you about the oldest? 14-year-olds? 14? 13? What about, who in here is 8? How many people are younger than 8? Okay. Why don't those of you who are younger than 8 find verses about lying? And those of you who are older than 8 find instances and characters in the Bible that lied and what happened to them. And you don't have to read the whole passage. Just tell us where you read this happening and who the person was and what happened to him. Like, for instance, in Acts, I think, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied about that money and they got killed. Find a happening like that in the Bible, somebody that lied. Okay. You may be seated.
Of all men for my name's sake, but
from the first thing and shall be saved.
Hebrews 12:1. For they who have not endured that which was commanded, and if so much as these touches come, they shall be still for a fresh move to God.
Hebrews 12:7. Endure, take God dealing with you as a son, for what son is he from the Father, Jesus?
James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, and when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Revelation 21:7. Whoever conquers will come into possession of these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But cowardly, unfaithful, foolish, looking, murderous, sexual, practice witchcraft, and worship idols, and all liars will find themselves in the way of the fire and soul, and this is the second death.
2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise.
Matthew 24:11-13. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and lawlessness will abound, for many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved.
Mark 4:16-17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
John 6:26-27. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you can eat the loaves and are filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.